A controversy over constraints on the participants of the Cook Inlet Beluga recovery team has letters flying back and forth between state and federal officials and other team members. The issue first arose in January when recovery team leader Tamara McGuire wrote to James Balsiger, the head of NOAA Fisheries for the Alaska region. McGuire's letter said science panel members were unhappy that Department of Fish and Game Commissioner Cora Campbell made clear that state scientists on the recovery team could not speak freely about the plight of the beluga. Other team members worried this would inject politics into the work of developing a recovery plan. The state is suing the federal government over the listing of Cook Inlet beluga as endangered under the Endangered Species Act.
I've worked with the state of Alaska for the last 35 years on various projects or for them, and I've never seen anything quite like this.
Craig Matkin is a biologist with the nonprofit North Coast Oceanic Society and one of the biologists on the panel. He says he has great respect for both Robert Small and Mark Ouellette, the two state scientists who were selected to represent the state on the science panel, but he says it's important that they be allowed to work independently of state policy, and he says that policy has taken a troubling turn in recent years.
I think they've taken some stances that are far more political and hard than I've ever seen before. And without mentioning names, other state scientists that worked for the state for many years have agreed. They've never seen anything quite like this come down from the state. So I'm concerned about it. That's what it is, and I'm concerned about how it could pull us up in the long run. We're already getting balled up in this, and it could just get worse.
NOAA Alaska Region head James Balsiger says he thinks having state biologists on the team is valuable, but given the state's stance on the whales, it will be important to track whether state biologists are talking policy or science.
And I suppose in a perfect world where you didn't need other expertise, if we knew everything, we wouldn't have to have the state biologists on, and we wouldn't have to be careful about whether they're expounding on policy issues, state procedure issues, or biology. But I think when we know this, it's not that difficult to utilize your experience where we need it, utilize the special knowledge that they have. Those biologists have spent more time on Cook Inlet probably than many of our own people that are on this team. So it's kind of a balancing act.
Balsiger says the state has been upfront about their position, and Campbell's letter clarifies that. He says he is confident the state is not trying to undermine the process. But he says other scientists on the team have raised the issue with D.C.-level offices in NOAA, and that could impact how the panel proceeds. Balsiger says because the state is suing NOAA over the endangered listing, they wouldn't want their biologists to say something that might compromise their position in court.
They wouldn't want their biologists to come in and say, boy, the state was sure mixed up when they sued you for that. It's obviously they're really in terrible shape and should be listed. So that they want to make certain that there isn't a state employee that puts that kind of a statement on record.
Fish and Game Endangered Species Coordinator Doug Vincent Lang says the state's position is that the ESA listing is premature, that the beluga population is stabilized and has begun a slow increase. He says the policy laid out in the letter predates Cora Campbell and has been in place for 3 or 4 years. He says there's a lot of disagreement within the department on various elements of what's happening with the Cook Inlet beluga, but those perspectives will be brought forward by the two state scientists, and they must follow department mandates.
Scientists are not going to be independent scientists participating in this science panel, but more as representatives of the department and the collective view and collective representation, that science perspective on issues affecting beluga whale recovery.
There are two panels involved in planning for the Cook Inlet beluga's recovery. One is a stakeholder panel that has state, oil, and gas industry and NGOs represented on it. Campbell's letter also raised concerns that the science panel meetings were closed to the stakeholders. She wrote that action unnecessarily increases suspicions. She urged the science panel to open its meetings to the stakeholder group. One of the stakeholder panel members, John Shane, worked for Fish and Game for 20 years. He now works for the Audubon Society. He says the stakeholder group is working together well and that is the proper place for the state's views to be heard. But he says autonomous science is vital to the beluga recovery effort. In the 1980s, the Cook Inlet beluga population was around 1,300. Currently, the number is around 300. Shane says few scientists would argue that the whales are in a precarious position and could easily be driven into extinction.
But the state of Alaska's position is against that. It puts the scientists from the state, who, again, I respect, very much respect their integrity and their expertise, it puts them in a very awkward position. It almost makes the science panel dysfunctional.
At this point, it's not clear how the issue will be resolved. A meeting of the science panel is scheduled for April 12th. The Marine Mammal Commission and Cook Inlet Keeper also sent letters expressing strong reservations about the state's position. The letters are at our website, aprn.org.